Let me speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. It's Friday morning, and after a hectic week, I finally turn my thoughts to the readings for today. Bereft of helpful insight, I scratch my head as I read that Jesus tells us his modern day disciples to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And the cost of saving our lives lies in our willingness to risk losing them. Head in hands, I feel beneath the comfortable exterior of my middle class life, my heart breaking under the hail of the hard stones of despair. In this past week, running out of ammunition, Ukraine's army executed a forced withdrawal from Avdiivka. Can it be that we've lost sight of the larger picture of what's at stake, not only for the world, but for America, especially in the event of a Ukrainian defeat? Nightly images numb me further into acquiescence and resignation as I watch in real time as the civilian population of Gaza are bombed into a Stone Age wasteland of wretchedness beyond belief. News from Oklahoma of a young trans person's death as a result of a bathroom incident between fellow students in a school further evidences the unleashing of politically sanctioned persecution of trans and non-binary persons in large parts of this country. In states governed by legislatures no longer committed to the basic principles of representative democracy, where power is maintained through gerrymandered electorates, legislatures pursue their anti-liberal agendas, and the courts continue to hand down insane rulings that impose increasingly cruel and unusual punishment that further restricts the basic civic freedoms of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness enshrined in the Constitution. And we've reached the ludicrous situation where the courts defend freedom of speech protections that allow the right to incite hatred, but strictly police student hairstyles. And I hear a voice in my head cautioning me to stop it. Stop what? Well, stop funneling down the rabbit hole of rage and despair. 40 years of experience reminds me that this is no way to start a sermon preparation. At the root of my despair is my rage that the world is not fair, that wrongs seem seldom righted. Everywhere I look, the appearance of things leads me to conclude that despite my frequent protests to the contrary, might often is right, and wealth is the primary influence of power. It's into this slough of despond I hear Jesus speaking to Simon Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The words of the King James Authorized Version, a translation I hardly ever read, remains indelibly imprinted on my mind, as is probably true for most English-speaking Christians. And to fully appreciate the searing impact of Mark's account of the encounter between Jesus and Simon Peter, we need to go back to verse 27 in chapter 8, where Mark reports Jesus on his way to Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asks his disciples, "What are people saying about me?" And reporting the general gossip, the disciples tell him, "Well, Rabbi, some say this and some say that." To which Jesus asked, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And his question provokes Simon Peter to declare, "We know who you are. you are the Messiah. But giving the correct answer doesn't necessarily mean understanding what the answer means. Today's text picks up at verse 31 with, "Then he began to teach them." But what Jesus teaches them is not what they want to hear. And Simon Peter, with his Jewish conditioned misunderstanding of Messiahship, confronts Jesus. Taking him aside, he rebukes Jesus with what I imagine probably went like this: "What on earth are you talking about, Jesus? What nonsense are you spouting about suffering and death? You are the Messiah, the great king sent by God to get us out of this mess of Roman occupation and restore us to the status of a chosen nation. So let's hear no more of this defeatist nonsense about suffering and death. Can't you see the undermining effect on our morale when you speak like this?" And Jesus fixes Simon with a steely gaze and with a heart-stopping authority commands, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And this is a hard saying. Trapped within our human perspective, we look out at the appearance of things, unable to see beyond our limited perceptions into the larger picture. So much of the divine action remains hidden from our view. And can we honestly speak in a community like ours about Jesus' prediction of suffering and death? Like Simon Peter, suffering and death and the cost of discipleship are clearly not on our agenda. No matter how darkly at times we may view events in the world around us. But unlike Peter, we don't even protest. We simply tune out, preferring to think that the choice is ours, whether to follow Jesus or not. We may choose to follow Jesus, but always on our own terms and at little cost to ourselves. And like Simon Peter and the disciples, we want to filter Jesus' messiahship through the prism of our own desires and fears, the things of our human priorities. Prisms, careful, not prisms, prisms. Now here's an interesting fact. The thing about prisms is that they don't filter light. They refract it. White light enters as a beam to become refracted into the 7 color constituents of the spectrum. Our desires and fears, our human priorities, enter the prism of Jesus's messiahship as a tight white beam, only to emerge refracted to reveal the divine priorities of a multi-stranded Kodachrome cone of ever-widening dispersion. An event of ultimate significance occurred this week, which shed some light on the incident in Mark. I refer to the death, in suspicious circumstances, of Alexei Navalny, the courageous Russian dissident and now martyr for the democratic cause. Many of us still find it incomprehensible that he chose to return to Russia knowing the fate that awaited him. And it seems that in this action, with his mind no longer focused on his own concerns, Navalny understood the cost of discipleship as inseparable from fidelity to the path of discipleship, which for him was the cause of democratic freedom. Now, I'm not conflating Alexei Navalny with Jesus. I don't know whether Navalny was a Christian. My point is that Navalny emulates Jesus in action. They both knew that being faithful to their cause would cost them nothing less than their life. They both wielded the most powerful weapon in the confrontation with evil, that of non-violent resistance. And like Pontius Pilate before him, as the representative of empire, Vladimir Putin understands well that the necessity of killing the leader of a movement of non-violent resistance, but like Pilate and countless other brutes of history before him, Putin fails to understand that non-violence is an idea that is only strengthened in the killing of its leading proponents. And as with Jesus, the concentrated white light of Alexei Navalny's life has now been refracted through the prism of his death into a broad Kodachrome spectrum of ever-widening hope. But hope comes at a cost, and when the cost is paid, hope strengthens. What will it take to discover for us what the disciples eventually came to understand? That the fruit of discipleship cannot be separated from its cost. And the cost of discipleship is paid in the currency of hope's confrontation with evil. What will discipleship cost us? This is Jesus' 21st century question, to which the life and death of Alexei Navalny reveals one possible answer. Discipleship is unlikely to cost us our lives, but it does require our death to self, a death to our self preoccupation, a dying to our exclusive focus on merely human things that lead us to despair and acquiesce to helplessness. As we enter upon the journey of another Lent, a season in which we are called to face down the temptation to acquiesce to the face of evil that holds such sway in the world around us, Lent is a season when the white light of despair is refracted through the prism of discipleship into the broad color spectrum of faith and courage and love, to name but three strands in the spectrum of hope. But be under no illusion. The path of discipleship is a costly one, as Navalny's death confirms. And the encounter between Peter and Jesus in Mark 8 is where for us the journey of discipleship begins. And it is from here that we reset the compass setting towards the resurrection. Amen.